You are listening to Real World News.
Reporter Friends of the Earth International spokesperson from the COP18 on climate change in Doha. Thursday is the fourth day of official talks of the 18th Conference of the Parties, COP18, to the United Nations Convention on Climate Change, which is being held in Qatar's capital, Doha. Real World Radio spoke on Wednesday with environmental activist Asad Rehman of Friends of the Earth England, Wales and Northern Ireland, and spokesperson of Friends of the Earth International at talks in Doha. Friends of the Earth International is an environmental federation with almost 80 member groups around the world. Rehman has a long-standing experience following the UN climate talks, and he has regularly attended the COPs every year, as well as the intersessional meetings that the UN holds at least twice a year ahead of every COP. Real World Radio will publish regular reports with updates from Doha provided by Rehman and other Friends of the Earth activists, as well as members of allied social movements and organizations. This time, Rehman told us about the role of developed countries at the COP18, the actions they should take to tackle the serious climate crisis, the positions of other country groups that are closer to the demands of social movements, and the presence of the civil society in Doha.
Well, first of all, I would say that we're at a critical moment here in the climate talks here in Doha. When we look around the world, we see the reality of the climate crisis, of our communities already being affected by weather impacts, hurricanes, floods, droughts, food prices increasing, farmers struggling already. So we already know that climate is impacting on millions and millions of people's lives. And just this last week, we have seen three new reports, one even from the World Bank, which has said that a four-degree world is very likely, and it would make the world as we know it pretty inhospitable, that millions upon millions of people will be affected even further through climate change, and droughts, of food shortages, of sea level rises, flooding of many, many major cities. So the urgency of taking action has become so clear that even the most conservative institutions have recognized the dangers of the planetary crisis. Yet governments continue to come to the talk with very little ambition. Here in Doha, rich developed countries, those that have been responsible for causing the climate crisis, those with just 20% of the global population, but an historic responsibility of 75% of global emissions, were meant to come here and say what action they would take for the next 8 years, what reductions they would make domestically to shift their economies from dirty fossil fuels to clean, sustainable energy, what they would do to shift their economic systems from the economic model that they have dominated and that the world has seen. Unfortunately, we've seen countries like the European Union, which has claimed to be a climate champion, coming to the talks here and saying it will only do emissions reductions of 20% for the next 8 years. Now, that sounds like they are taking a lot of action, but the science tells us that the European Union must, at minimum, take at least 40% emissions reduction for having any chance of keeping to below 2 degrees, let alone the much safer 1.5 or 1 degree limit that many of our people and our movements have been calling for. The irony is that the European Union has already achieved its 20% target. And so what it's actually putting on the table is a decade of inaction. And we have other countries like Australia, which are putting emissions targets of 0.5%, so less than 0.5% emissions reduction. And yet both of them, both Australia and European Union, and many of the rich developed countries like Japan, Canada, Russia, what they want here and what they want here is continuing expansion of the carbon market. Of not only failing to do action at home, but creating new markets for their industries and for their businesses. So Durban is very critical for the future of our planet. And at the moment, we are not seeing the actions that we need to see. The second most critical thing for many of our countries and for many of our people is what climate finance is going to be provided by these rich developed countries. They came here with a promise from Copenhagen that they would give $30 billion in short-term finance, in finance that was there quickly for communities who have been immediately affected to be helped, for our for developing countries to be able to deal with the impacts of climate change that they're facing. That has been a lie. The overwhelming majority of money that has been provided has been either in the form of loans so that our governments become even more in debt, or it's been existing aid money that they have been committed and they've just relabeled climate finance. And when asked in the opening negotiations what climate finance rich developed countries are willing to put on the table, the answer has either been none from the European Union and others, or from countries like the United States, that they no longer want to talk about any climate finance, that they don't think they have a responsibility to help poorer developing countries who are facing the brunt of the climate crisis. So this is going to be a key climate talk, which is going to decide really what takes place for the next 10 years, and also what will be the basis of this new global treaty that rich countries have said that they want signed in 2015, that will govern their actions for the following decade, from 2020 to 2030. These two decades are the only decades we have if we want to stop temperatures from reaching levels which are going to create catastrophic climate change. And yet what we're seeing is a serious, serious lack of action. The only hope, as there's ever been, has been the actions of civil society. And what's been very strong and positive here is the call by many of the youth organizations, including our own Young Friends of the Earth, groups who are here, that we need to target the corporations, the oil industry, the coal industry, that are dominating and influencing government agendas, who are ensuring that it's business as usual rather than changing the system that is so imperative if we're going to stop climate crisis.
Yeah, I only have two small and short questions asked, and which one of them is related to this last thing that you have talked about. For example, the Young Friends of the Earth, Europe. I would like to know about the presence of social organizations and social movements there in Doha. What is really happening with the social movements there? And at last, if there is a country or a group of countries which is in some way putting on the table the measures or the alternatives proposed by the peoples, by the movements, by the popular social movements all over the world, Assad.
So in terms of the social movements, I have to say that this is one of the few climate talks where we've not seen the kind of powerful mobilization of our social movements that we saw either in Copenhagen, in Cancun, in Durban. There is no alternative space where civil society is coming together. There isn't the huge presence of our movements. And that has a lot to do with the fact that the social movements in this part of the Gulf region are very weak. We are in countries with very absolute monarchies where political expression is severely restricted. So that has meant that we don't have the natural movement in the region that would focus on the climate talks and would help solidify and make more powerful the voices of the world, but also amplify the work that people are doing inside the negotiations. Yet saying that, there are our Friends of the Earth groups are here together with our allies, not in huge numbers, but are here, and particularly amongst the youth, are trying to do quite a lot of very positive and actions, highlighting the lack of ambition, particularly by the European Union and others. So that is the only positive side on the inside vis-a-vis the social movement. There are always a number of countries willing to put forward the ambitious action that's needed. Many of the countries from Africa and from Asia are putting forward demands from the small island states. Those that are most vulnerable to the impacts of climate change are constantly calling in again and again for more action from rich developed countries. There is, of course, the Bloc of Alba groups that work from Latin America, that work together with other countries, particularly some in Africa and Asia, who are trying to put forward alternatives and alternatives to the expansion of the carbon markets, trying to make sure that ambitious demands, not only in terms of the emissions reductions, but the climate finance, that issues around historical responsibility and an equitable climate agreement remain central. And that is really the fight between equity and ambition on one side and between inaction and inequality on the other side. So that is what's taking place here. We've just been told today that the next climate talks next year will be in Poland. And that, I think, now is the challenge to the European movement to mobilize strongly against a country where coal and gas fracking are central parts of their economy and dominate their political system, and to challenge that government and the European government to be much more ambitious, and that our movements need to be saying with a very strong voice that we want action now and we need deep emissions reductions from rich developed countries.
Perfect. Those were the words of Asad Rehman, representative of Friends of the Earth England, Wales and Northern Ireland, and also the spokesperson of Friends of the Earth International in Doha in this COP18 on climate change of the United Nations. Asad, thank you very much.
No problem. Thank you.
You are listening to Real World News.